Amen, amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Psalm, Psalm 119. Sometimes I refer to it as the book of Psalms. I'm corrected sometimes when I do that. Or Revelations. They said, no, it's not Revelations, it's Revelation. So, Psalm 119. And we've been trying to encourage you each month, focusing on a theme. Last month, we tried to focus on affection. I hope that you've maybe grown some in your love for your family, your love for the lost, your love for the Lord, in some way. And by the way, you need to constantly be working on that. It's not just for a month. We need to work on that. We need to work on that continually. We dealt with fasting in February. January is, or July is coming, and July we want to focus in on jubilation, worship. So you might as well start practicing that now. I think it's going to take a little bit of time for us to get there. As we need a few more amens, a few more that's right, and then oh me's are fine as well. But let's listen to the Lord and try to respond to Him, and let everybody know that you're awake and listening. All right, Psalms 119, and we'll begin reading verse number 1, but our focus text this morning is verse 11. So I want to share with you this morning a message, hiding God's Word in our heart. Hiding God's Word in our heart. Blessed are the undefiled in the law who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee, O let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all Thy judgments, of the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for this morning and for an opportunity to look into Your inspired and errant word. We thank You, Father, that You've given to us the Holy Scriptures, and that they could teach us about who You are. We're so grateful for the revelation that You've given to us of Your existence, Your character, Lord, Your power, Your wisdom. And Lord, we must confess that we need to learn much more about You than we know right now. We do pray, God, that You would do a work in us when it comes to Your word. The devil has done a great job at deceiving Your people into believing that we can neglect the Scriptures, that we don't have to spend quality time studying and searching through the Word of God, that we can just lay our Bibles down when we get home and then pick them up when the next service comes, and that is sufficient. Lord, help us to reject that as a lie from the enemy of our soul. And Lord, help us to realize what Your Word says about the Bible and the Holy Scriptures. Lord, I do pray this morning that You would do something in us that would help us to hide Your Word in our heart, that we would not sin against You. I pray, Father, if there's any with us this morning that are lost, I ask You that You would open up their heart to the truth that Jesus loves them. Jesus died as a sacrifice for their sins and was buried and rose again. And that the living Son of God would save them if they would come to Jesus this morning and turn from their sins and put their faith and trust in You. I pray, Father, that You would do the work of drawing. We thank You for the Word of God. Please anoint us and fill us with Your Spirit that we might say what You would have us to say and do the things that are pleasing before You. We pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So this month we're going to try to emphasize meditating or memorizing Scripture. I've tried to challenge younger people to do this. When you're young, it seems to be easier to memorize Scripture. Some of you are young enough and could do it. You can memorize an entire book of the Bible. You can memorize the book of Ephesians, easy, or the book of James. Brother Bruce, his memory is not all that well. A lot of times if you're talking to him about an appointment or something, he'll have to write it down in his hand. Because if he walks away, it just slips his mind. But he was a testimony to the church the other a few Sunday nights ago when he stood up and quoted James chapter number 1. And so if someone has that difficulty with his memorization and can still memorize the Word of God, then you and I could also memorize the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so we want to encourage you this month to be a student of the Scriptures, to search the Scriptures. And one of the reasons I want to draw your attention to Psalms 119 is most of you know this is an amazing psalm. It's taken from the Hebrew alphabet. So every letter in the alphabet, the writer gives 8 stanzas to the letter A. I'll use our alphabet. And then he has 8 sayings about the letter B. And he goes to the entire Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters. And every time he starts with a letter, he gives 8 little statements about that. And it's amazing that nearly every verse has something to do with the Word of God. I think that after we get through reading Psalm 119, we should at least have the impression left on our heart that God's Word is vital. It's important. It's critical in order for us to live the life that Christ wants us to live. It can't be the neglected Word. It can't be the Bible that nobody knows anything about. It can't be that Christians are ignorant of the Holy Scriptures. We can't impact our generation if we're going to neglect the holy, inspired Word of God. So I want to try to help you this morning just with this thought of how do I hide the Word of God in my heart. And the first thing I want you to consider is that it must be purchased. It must be purchased. Now, I'm not talking about going to a Bible bookstore and buying a Bible. By the way, if you try to do that recently, you notice that they are quite expensive. Now, we've had a few folks at the church ask me, where can you buy a Bible at? And the best price I've found on them lately is Walmart. I think they sell them for $20. That's not a bad price. The pages are a little thin, but that's still worth it versus $170 or so. But you don't even have to buy a Bible at Walmart. You can download the Bible for free. I'm not talking about purchasing a Bible. I'm talking about the effort that the psalmist seems to imply when he gives us this verse. He says that he is going to hide the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart. The word hid there means to treasure, to store up. Some other translations might even use the word treasure. So it's saying there's something here that is valuable to me, it's vital to me, and I need to make sure I hide it or store it up or treasure it. Now let me ask you something. How are you going to store something up or hide it that you don't possess? It doesn't make any sense, does it? If I had a safety at my house, and I don't, but if I did, and you were a robber and you went in and cracked the safe and you opened it up, it wouldn't do you any good. I might put a little smiley face in there. Good job, but you got nothing. Why? Because I've not put gold bars and silver bars and coins and chains into some kind of safe. Usually the money that we have goes from us to people who want it. But in order for us to hide something or put it up or store it up, we first of all, we have to be a possessor of that thing, right? I think this is where most Christians are missing it. You don't magically store up the Scriptures in your heart. You don't go to bed at night, lay the Bible under the pillow, and then by osmosis in the morning, you wake up And you know Genesis chapter 1 through 5, every word of it, and you can quote it. It doesn't work that way. How many of you tried that? You might want to testify. It doesn't work that way. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says this: when man sinned in the garden, his fellowship with God was broken. God announced judgment. Judgment on the woman. Judgment on Satan. He also announced judgment on man. Part of man's judgment was this: in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground from out of that which thou wast taken. He said, when you are going to be working in this world, you're going to work, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to be sweat. And it's by that sweat you'll earn money to purchase bread. Now, I say something to you, the same thing is true about the Word of God. You know, the bread, the Bible says about itself, it's bread for us. It's bread for our souls. It feeds our soul, right? Well, in order for it to feed our soul, we've got to get a hold of it. We've got to dig into it. We've got to understand it. And that's not going to happen just by sitting in church. Church is to help encourage you to do that. But it's more than just going to church. It's when you get home. That's when Christianity is vital. What are you going to do when you get home? Take this Bible, put it on a shelf, and that's it? And I tell you this, you're not going to be a strong Christian. You're not going to last long as a Christian. This world will get you sooner or later. You keep neglecting the Word of God, sin will enslave you. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24 says this: the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute or be forced to labor. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute, or the slothful shall be forced to labor. That's a practical thing about life. Getting up, being diligent, doing things that you really don't feel like doing, but doing them because they have to be done. They must be done. And someone who is diligently laboring, he'll rule. But someone who is slothful, someone else will rule over him. In the Christian life, either you are resisting the devil and he is fleeing from you, or he is pouncing on you and taking as many bites out of your soul as he can. And the only way to be on one side of that and not the other is, what are you doing with the Word of God? If you're diligent pursuing the Word of God, you shall resist steadfastly the devil, and he will flee from you. If you're neglecting the Scriptures, you will be devoured by your adversary. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 10, the Apostle Paul wrote the Thessalonians. Remember, he told them that Jesus was coming back. And some of them said, oh, that's wonderful. That's great. I'm going to quit work. And about lunchtime, I'll go and visit Sister Linda and Brother Field's house. And then tomorrow, I'll go visit somebody else's house about lunchtime. Oh, just happened to show up at lunchtime. And this is what the Apostle Paul wrote to people like that in chapter 3 and verse 10, 2 Thessalonians. For even when I was with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, that's a practical application, right? You're not going to work, kind of just live off everybody else, the good graces of everybody else. Don't feed them. And when they get hungry enough, they'll get off their backside and get to work. I think that one principle would transform most of America. Amen? But that's also true about the Scriptures. Y'all see the connection there? If I don't labor in the Scriptures, if I don't study the Scriptures, if I don't search the Scriptures, I can't feed off of them. They will not be nourishment to me. They will not build me up. I will not be edified by the Word of God. Why? Because I'm not working in it. I'm not eating off of it. I hope you see that connection. Because you need to get away from going to church and listening to a sermon, and that's it. By the way, most people just have, that's all they have. A little bit on Sunday morning. How'd you like that diet? You eat just a little bit on one day of the week. How many of y'all think you'd last very long with that kind of diet? Sooner or later, you'd get to a critical point. Amen? Can I say something to you? The same thing's true about our spiritual life. No wonder we don't have power. No wonder we don't sense the presence of God. No wonder it seems like this Christianity is empty and something's missing. What's missing is the Word of God running through our lives and cleansing our souls and strengthening us so that we can live what the life that Christ wants us to live. You see that? In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, the Bible says this. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 23, verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. So it's saying that buy the truth, and buy wisdom, buy instruction, and buy understanding, and do not sell them. I don't know about you, but I don't go to Walmart as much as, our family goes to Walmart quite a bit. Usually I'm not there. But I've been there, and I never found a big box of truth on aisle 37 on the right side about halfway up. Have you ever found that there? How many of you can go online, Amazon? By the way, how many of y'all order on Amazon? Just to see. Okay. Jenny's not in here. Both her hands have to go up. She was in here. Corey, don't tell her I said that. You can tell Lonnie. But have you gone on Amazon and say, hey, I want to buy the truth. I want to buy wisdom. I want to buy instruction. And search for it, you're not going to find that on them. So why does the wisest man in the world say, buy truth? Because truth costs. Right? What does it cost? It costs you time. It costs you effort. You've got to stay there, and you're sleepy, and you're tired, you don't understand, you've got to dig into it, and study it, and Solomon said, much study is weariness to the bones. This may be why we're ignoring the Scriptures, because it takes effort to understand the Word of God. It takes work on your part. If you're going to hide it in your heart, you've got to get a hold of it. You've got to possess it. You've got to obtain it. You've got to buy it. How are you going to do that? By studying the Scriptures and meditating and memorizing and comparing one verse with another verse. That's how you're going to be strengthened in your spiritual life. Proverbs chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to turn to these just a couple of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 14. Proverbs 3 and verse 14 says this, for the merchandise of it, and by the way, look at verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that gives understanding. Are you happy? You know, most of the world is not happy. Most people in the world are not happy at all. They may have temporal, little teeny bits of flare-ups of physical joy, something to satisfy a desire, but it doesn't last when they're all by themselves and they're all alone just for their own thoughts. They are not happy. America has the highest rate of suicide in the world. How can that be? Because we think that things satisfy. And it doesn't satisfy. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Happy is the man that finds wisdom. Why? Because it is a profit to that man. It is a benefit to that man. He gains. This is what a lot of us don't understand. If I were to tell you, listen, I found this place on St. John's River, and if you go out there and dig a little while and go through the dirt in that river, you can get a pound of gold every hour. All you got to do is go out there and work and labor and dig and then rinse out that dirt, and what will be left will be a pound of gold every hour. I'll take you to the place. Here it is, right here. And when you start digging and you get that pound every hour out, if I went back at midnight, you'd probably still be out there with a flashlight, you know, digging. 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the next day, you dug all night. Aren't you gonna get some rest? Yeah, I will. I'll get some rest. But wait a minute, preacher. I mean, it is coming in by bucket loads. And when I tell you, the Bible is more valuable to you than that. You know what we get from most people in the world today? It's better gain to you. Better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. Listen to Proverbs chapter number 2. Look at verse 1. Now, I want you to think about your Bible when we read this verse. Think about your Bible. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, how am I going to hide his commandments with me? So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Listen to verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, lifteth up thy voice for understanding. Preacher, how do I hide the word of God in my heart? You study and you pray and you say, God, help me to understand this word. Lord, help me to make this a fact of my life, reality of my life. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Teach me thy ways. Teach me thy statutes and thy commandments. God, I have to have you to instruct me out of this book. Open my heart and my mind to truth. God said, if you'll cry after it, you'll gain it. Amen? Amen. And lift up thy voice for understanding. Look at verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Are y'all getting that? He said, listen, you want help? You want the word of God to be hid in your heart? Pour over in prayer. Cry out to God. God, help me to see. Help me to learn. Help me to understand. And if we'll do that, the Lord certainly will open up our understanding to his precious and holy word. Amen? Amen. I hope you see it has to be purchased. How can I purchase it, preacher? Well, it takes energy and effort and sweat and tears and time and labor and maybe jotting down some notes and having a pencil and paper and comparing verses with verses and writing little notes here and understanding words and defining words and saying, God, I have to understand the truth of your word. What does Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 say? It's in our bulletin. You say, preacher, that's all Old Testament stuff. It's all throughout the Bible. We're commanded in Timothy, 2 Timothy, to search the Scriptures or study the Word of God. Look at what he says in Colossians 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Here he is instructing us to let the Word of God dwell in us richly. Listen to verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like Paul's saying, listen, don't be a beggar when it comes to the Bible. Don't just get barely enough to get you through the next Sunday. How many of y'all feel like that sometimes? When I was a young Christian, that's exactly how I felt. Spiritually. I'd go to church on Sunday and I would get all fired up. I'd go to school, I'd start witnessing to my friends, trying to get people to church, and then Monday would come to an end, and I would, and Tuesday it was getting worse, and Wednesday it was worse, and I was dragging myself into church on Wednesday night. And Wednesday night they started singing hymns and praying, and the preacher would preach the word of God, and I left Wednesday night saying, yeah, I'm free to be a Christian. I'm so glad I'm saved. Friday, Saturday. What was I doing? I was doing exactly what that little kid song said I shouldn't be doing. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink. And you'll shrink. And you'll shrink. You ever seen the kids do that? Until they get all the way flat on the floor. And then they sing the other part. Read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. And then they start crawling back up. And you'll grow. And you'll grow. Until when they get to the end of that, they're standing on their tippy toes. It's a child song, but it's true. Some of you are struggling desperately spiritually. And you're barely holding things together. And the reason that's the case is you're not reading, meditating, memorizing the Scriptures like you must. You are not hiding the Word of God in your heart. Therefore, you are sinning against God. It must be purchased, but it also must be protected. It's so easy to let things slip. I can demonstrate that for you. How many of you, when you were in high school, did you love algebra? Anybody love algebra in high school? One, two. I loved it myself. I love math. We got to the place where we were, and we were taking trig classes at high school. I loved it. If they had another one in high school above trig, I'd jump in that one too. Now, English, that's a different story, as y'all can tell. I was not a diligent student with English at all. But you know what? Algebra is simple. It's really easy. So I'm out, go to work, working. Kids are born. We have five kids. They start growing up. Now it's time that they learn algebra. They come to me, Dad, how do you solve this problem? That's easy. Give me that. Wait a minute now. A plus B. I could not remember how to do a single one of those things that I love so much. Why? I let it slip. Let me tell you who's the exact opposite. My wife. Let me tell you what. I promise you right now, if you had an algebra problem, she could solve it for you. You say, why is that? Well, it's because we decided to homeschool. So guess who she taught algebra to? Vicky. And Jenny. And Cody. And Carrie. And she tried to teach some to Corey as well. No, she taught him algebra. She kept teaching it and kept teaching it and kept. And she kept it in her mind. And she kept it in her heart. And she kept it before her eyes. And she knew it. She didn't forget it. You and I need to protect it. It's one thing to memorize a verse. How many of y'all experienced this? You memorize a section of Scripture, you've learned it well, and then you go on about life, and then later, and you get back, and you're going to quote that section again. And you know you're missing some words. You know you're not getting it right. You're saying, I know that. That doesn't even sound right. Why? Because you did not give attention to it. You didn't stay on top of it. You weren't consistent with it. Why do I put treasure in a safe box? In a vault somewhere? Because I don't want nobody to steal it. What does the devil do when we even hear a sermon on Sunday morning and the Word of God is planted in our hearts? You know what he does? A lot of people, he comes and he just snatches that seed off that heart, and you get back out in church. I'm tempted to do this Sunday night, tonight. Even with this warning. I say to you this tonight, hey, what was the sermon on this morning, church, Sunday morning service? You know how most people respond to that? The Bible? God? Jesus. It had to be on Jesus. Right, Brandon? Jesus. That's always good answers, by the way. Bible, God, or Jesus. He usually covers everything. Why? Because we don't value it like it should be valued. If I drew a map for you to go and find the gold, I promise you, you know where that map is. And before too much longer after the service, you'd be driving down there. Whoop. Why? Because that's important. Can I say something? This is far more important than that. That has to do with temporal things. That gold may last you your entire lifetime. You may pass it on to your children. But this Bible lasts you for eternity. Those are temporal things. These are eternal things. These are eternal truths. It'll keep you from ruining your life. Why do dads and moms spend so much time trying to guide their children the right way? Because they don't want you to ruin your life. Can I tell you something? There's many things you can do that'll ruin your life. I know what you're thinking. You think I'm too smart for that. So did everybody else that ruined their life. Guess who's smarter than you are? The devil. Amen? I need to protect it. How can I protect it? I need to memorize it. I need to meditate on it. I need to pray over it. There's some things that I know. There's some things I go over and over and over and over with. By the way, one great ministry in the Bible is the ministry of reminding. Some of you read these verses, this verse. You can't even count how many times you've read this verse. Guess what church is good for? Hey, remember to hide the Word of God in your heart. Oh, yes, that's true. Amen? When you're memorizing Romans chapter 6, verse 23, try to do some meditating on it. What does that mean, preacher? It doesn't mean close your eyes and say, No. That's not even meditation. It is, for the wages of sin is death. What is a wage? How does that wage get paid? What is the cost of sin? What is death? How does that happen? What is the context? And you ask as many questions prayerfully under the leadership of the Holy Ghost as you can ask about that. One verse, as many questions as you can, and pray, God, open my understanding to it. And once God does that, it's hard to forget that. I worked at a company here in town called Tiffany Marble. We made bathtubs and countertops, and we'd go and install them. And we were going all over Jacksonville. And I worked with the owner's son. We installed together. And so he would jump in and drive. I would jump in the passenger seat. And sometimes I would meditate. Till we got to the job. And I went to work one morning. They called in and they said, he's not coming in today. He's sick. And so they gave me a lot of these places to go to, subdivisions. And I said, well, where is that one at? You know, their response was, Tommy, you've been there 100 times. What do you mean, where is that at? You know my problem? I never drove there myself. I never found it myself. You know what your problem is when it comes to the Bible? You've not driven there yourself. You've not found it yourself. And once you've studied it and learned it and you saw it and God's opened your understanding to it, the devil can't take that away from you. That's how you protect it. Amen? Let me give you one final thing. It must be purchased. You've got to work at it. It's not going to come easy. Amen?
Amen.
It has to be protected. Let me say this lastly, though. It has to be practiced. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Lord, I want to know your word so that I don't do things that are contrary to your will. How can I know what his will is if I don't know his word? You want to see Psalms 119, verse 11 in practice? Read Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 through 11. Jesus is going in the wilderness. He's all by himself, alone. He's fasted 40 days. That means he's very hungry, very weak in the flesh. And in this weakened, hungered state, the devil slithers in up to the mountain, and he comes to the Son of God. Matthew 4, verse 3 says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he, Jesus, answered and said, it is written. Now, can I say something marvelous about this, amazing about this? If I were hungry and someone suggested that I could get food, I would not even see a temptation in that. Would you see a temptation in that? You know where you saw the temptation? In the word if. Prove it. Jesus said, I don't have to prove it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Listen to me. That's an important verse in context of what we're talking about this morning. How are you going to live the Christian life without the Bible? You can't. It's impossible. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Bible records those words for us. Amen? Then the devil taketh him into a holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, the Bible says. So you want to quote the Bible, Jesus? The devil said, I can quote the Bible. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And that's why if you're ever in a service and people start passing snakes around, and they say to you, it's written in Mark chapter 16, if you're saved, you can handle snakes. You say, yeah, but it's also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord. Again, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I would say make an exit, even if they don't have one. Make your own. Amen. Again, the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith, all these things will I give thee if thou wouldst fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, "Give thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Listen to this. "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." So you said this before. It seemed like the devil is just on me. He's just after me, just constantly after me. What's going on? He's just on me. Why don't you defeat him? Why don't you learn what the Bible says about resisting him? Put it into practice. And then you can report too, "And the devil left him, and angels came and ministered unto him." Amen? How did Jesus defeat the devil? By the Word of God. How are you going to defeat the devil? What does that mean then? It means you better dig into it. Study it, memorize it, pray over it, and get it in your heart. And then do what it says. Amen? You know what the Bible says? It says this in Acts chapter 17. It says that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. You know what that means? If you're lost, he's saying, I'm not suggesting that you get saved. I'm ordering it. You say, "Well, who can order you to get saved?" God. Amen. Amen? God. His Son died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And on that cross, he bore your sins, suffered in your place. So it's right for God to say, "Believe on my Son and be saved." Get Jesus in your heart. And then you can start hiding this word in there as well. Amen? And if you're a Christian, you've been going to church for years, and people, you've heard the preacher preach time and time again, are you reading your Bible? Do you read your Bible every day? Read your Bible. And you've not obeyed that. I'm begging you, make this the day of final repentance. And say, "God, from this day forward, I can't do anything about yesterday, but from this day forward, I will read the Word of God every day of my life. And I'll start trying to hide it in my heart, because I certainly don't want to sin against you." Amen? Would you come make that commitment to the Lord this morning? Let's stand for a word of prayer. Father, if we would do what you would have us do this morning, we'd see great victories in our Christian life. Lord, our church would receive such a blessing.